Turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 29. 1 Samuel 29. Today is a continuing journey of looking at the life of David and his committed living. And as we come to this chapter, you know, we had a chance to look at Saul and a lot of different things that were going on. We come to this section of David's journey and reminded that our limitation is God's opportunity. Reminded that, and this is something I know I've learned over the years, that where I stop and God starts is probably the best thing that ever happened. A lot of times we approach life and we think about the things that we ought to fix or make right or somehow, you know, set things in order. I've discovered that the fact is, the one who can do it the very best is Jesus. And when we come to an end of ourselves and God starts, that's when we really find success. And I believe David is understanding that. He hasn't quite learned it. Matter of fact, at this point, he is in the learning process, and we're moving towards this amazing place where David is going to discover again how very important it is for him to be close to God and stay with his Lord, just like it is so important for you and I to stay close to Jesus. Now, in this journey of David, and we come to chapter 29, David and really his family and all that have gathered around him are in Ziklag. Now, Ziklag is a place that often can kind of go sort of right over your head, and you would easily miss the importance of this place. When you look at the history of Ziklag, you know that it once belonged to Israel and was part of Israel's territory. But in the journey of different battles and warfare when the Philistines were coming against Israel, Israel gave up Ziklag without a fight. And they turned it over into the enemy's hands. And those who lived in Ziklag then adopted the Philistine culture and lived, if you will, with the enemy and literally gave up. When David was offered Ziklag, it wasn't by accident. The king wasn't just thinking, gee, what city ought I give David? Because, you know, the request had been made. And for David to receive Ziklag as a place to live, let me tell you what God was saying to David. You've given up. You've walked away. You're living in compromise. You should be living with me in Jerusalem, in my city. But instead, you have come to a place of defeat. You've given up without really a fight. And you're living with the enemy. You're moving in with the Philistines. Ziklag is a place that represented, and everyone knew it, of spiritual and national defeat for Israel. It was a place that you go to when you have forgotten or you've lost God's purpose in your life. And there's no place else to go. So you go live in Ziklag. Really, when we think of this passage, I think of what the Lord spoke to us in Revelation chapter 3. And really as a parallel passage that speaks to that place of compromise and defeat. So then, because you are lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. You see, the word here again is speaking to a church that had given up, lost its purpose, lost its focus. If you read from the message, that same verse in Revelation 3:16, listen to it from that paraphrase. I know you inside out and find little to my liking. You're not cold and you're not hot. Far better to be either cold or hot. And this really struck me. You're stale. You're stagnant. This isn't so good. You make me want to vomit. You brag. I've got it made. And this struck me. I need nothing from anyone. I've heard those same words come out of our mouth. We may not say it in so many ways, but we declare it in how we live and where we live, and somehow speak the words, I really don't need anything from anyone, including God. So I might as well live in Zitlag. Why should I live in the city of God, in the place where the Lord is, when I can have a place that is without conflict, without battle, without fight, without strife? I can live in a place of compromise. When you reject God's life principles, when you decide to allow compromise to drive you, you end up in Ziklag. But let me tell you, Ziklag can be right in your living room. It can be in your car. It can be where you work. It can be wherever you are. You can live, if you will, metaphorically, in Ziklag, a place that is just not close to God. It's desperate. It's lonely. It's giving up. It's just like David, and basically saying, God, I don't need your guidance anymore. I don't need your direction. I can do this on my own. And Ziklag can fool you. It really can. Look at verse 1. As this journey continues, the Philistines have gathered together and all their armies at Ephlech, and the Israelites encamped by a fountain, which is in Jezreel. Now the lords of the Philistines, the leaders here, the generals, had passed in review by hundreds and by thousands. I mean, you have to imagine, if you will, in our imagery, the troops marching in front of the bandstand, the bleachers, and that's kind of what's going on right now. Only in this case, they're marching in review to the king. David and his men passed in review at the rear with Achish. Now, the princes of the Philistines said, what are these Hebrews doing here? And look what it says. It's important. Achish says, well, the princes of the Philistines, to the prince of the Philistines, is this not David, the servant of Saul, the king of Israel? Look, who has been with me these days or these years, and to this day I found no fault in him since he defected to me? And really what he's saying, since he joined me, since we got together and partnered, since we're like this, he could have said, hey, Dave and I, we're like this, guys. Why would you be of any concern about David? Because we're together. And I'm proof of his compromise. I'm proof of his walking away from anything of God and hanging out with me in Ziklag. By virtue of that whole thing, it just reminds us of a parallel passage in the New Testament, 2 Corinthians 4, 16 through 18. It just speaks to the very thing. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Let me say that again. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness, and what communion has light with darkness? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? Listen, David has become unequally yoked together with King Achish. And he's with unbelievers. But by virtue of the very testimony of this word, he's one with them. That's what it means to be unequally yoked. And what part has a believer with an unbeliever? How could David share in communion with this? Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I'll receive you. Look what God promises. Listen, God says, I'll be a father to you, and you'll be my sons and daughters. There's something very powerful about that statement. I read that, and it just struck me. I'm a son to the Most High God. And just remembering that, I mean, brings some emotions to me. to realize that for whatever would go on, the choices I've made, the consequences of stepping out from the world and living yoked with God, I'm His son. And I want my Father to be proud of me. And this word tells us to join together with others puts you in a place that is dangerous. Now, you might think, how is it that I could have ever have moved into Zitlag? And you do it because you're hanging out with the enemy. You see, you know you're living in this place because you make excuses for your language. Well, everyone's doing it. I want to be one of the boys. You know, I need to curse like they do. I need to laugh at their jokes, as somehow it's funny, some of the profanity, and look the other way. I need to join in a behavior or a language. You know, when I'm with the girls, it's okay to gossip. It's okay to kind of talk that way because I want to be one of the gang. And you begin to move into a place where, and let me be as strong and straightforward as I can, your Christianity is a game, and it's not real. Because when it really hits the road and you're in a situation, how quick it is that we compromise because we don't want to embarrass anyone with this Jesus conversation. We don't want anyone to feel badly about us. We want to be accepted. You see, the power of acceptance and belonging is so overwhelming that we end up compromising and moving right into Zitlag. And you know it because they see you like this. We're buddies. Something happens when you talk that language. It steals away your heart. The Word of God from the very beginning said, don't be unequally yoked. Matter of fact, some of the original metaphors in Leviticus talks about the fact that, like in Leviticus 19, it tells us that the fact is, don't, when you're pulling a cart, don't put two animals of a different type together. It just won't work. You won't be able to pull that cart. So if you got a horse and you're pulling it, you can't put an elephant on there. It just won't work. They won't work together. They can't pull together. And so it's not just a practical, but it is practical, and it is relational, and it is spiritual, and it is emotional. You know, Paul is saying, listen, you need to come to this place and recognize it really is important with who you live and where you live. The words were spoken to me the other day. I don't care what he believes. I love him. In conversation with a couple that's about to get married, I don't care what he believes, which isn't about Jesus, but I love him, and therefore I'm going to marry him. Now, we live in a world today where somehow that justifies everything, and now it's okay. And I got to tell you, I've had too many conversations down the road of the consequences of partnering with non-believers. Now, as soon as I say this, I've had people say to me, but man, I led my mate to the Lord. And I'm excited for that. But that doesn't happen very often. And that is dangerous thinking. Because partnering in business, partnering in the different ways that we find ourselves, when we, listen, you move into Zitlag with the TV you watch. When you start laughing at the reality programs, when you start watching sitcoms that totally blow apart godly values and you're entertained by that and that becomes your entertainment, that's Zitlag. You're buying into a way of living and you're compromising and you're just one of the gang. And if someone was watching you, you are now part of that culture that embraces the life of Zitlag. The word says, what communion has light with darkness? The point is none. You cannot compromise with that. See, David got himself into trouble because he stopped connecting to God in 1 Samuel 27 and spent chapter 27, 28, 29, and half of 30 reconnecting with God. That's 3.5 chapters, which can be a decade of life. Don't just because you can read 3.5 chapters in 10 minutes, that was a long time in David's life. That is a long time in our lives. And it happens to believers today. When you and I start pursuing self-will, we refuse to align ourselves and submit ourselves to Jesus, and we start living outside his boundaries, we stop compromising and allowing other authority to come into our lives, we become like David. So we go to the party, we drink, we gamble, we do things, and hang out with people that are not of benefit to us as believers. But we become like this. Matthew 6, 24, and again, the scripture makes it very clear, you just cannot serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he'll be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot live one foot in the world and one foot with God and somehow get away with it. It will not work. You know the Word of God. You know His will. And when you decide to not, and you might not say, well, I'm not living it. I'm just not doing anything. That of itself puts you in a place where you're serving another master. And the Word of God's very clear. It won't work. There are lots of examples of those who have lived the wrong way and tried to coexist in two worlds. It is impossible. You cannot coexist with that which is opposite of God and be successful as a believer. Either walk by faith or you walk by sight. You can't do both. You're either humble or you're going to be proud. Either love light or you love darkness. And too much of our we're trying to mix two worlds. I want to illustrate this, and I brought my Play-Doh out. I love Play-Doh. It's really getting cheap, by the way. I got four cans of Play-Doh for $1. Man, go buy Play-Doh. And so I like this color. Here's a believer. Here's the world. Here we are. All right, let's hang out together. Let's play together. Let's work together. Let's laugh together. Let's just be one together. And life and pressures began to just kind of mold us together. And wow, here we are together. And then I go to my newly commissioned Air Force officer with great talent, say, okay, separate the two clays. And I think of, here's one from the earlier service. Go ahead, separate it. He won't. I mean, when it's all said and done, as you go through it, I mean, there's a lot of yellow here, but there's still two colors. You can try all day long. It's not going to happen. And matter of fact, you know what's going to happen if I keep interacting and changing and pressing the two colors? Any of you know what happens to primary colors like this? It blends and becomes what? One color. What color? It's a test. Okay, you go to heaven if you know the right answer. Green. You become green. And now you can't even tell what you are anymore. Some of you are green. You don't even know what you are. God's called you out to be clearly, listen, this is critical, to live a life as a believer. This is what David's being called out to do. I want you to see something. This was powerful for me. Look at verse 4. It says, the princes of the Philistines were angry with him. So the princes of the Philistines said to him, make this fellow return that he may go back to the place which has been appointed for him. Send him back to Ziklag, man. Send him back to that place of compromise. And don't let him go down with us in battle. Look what it says. Lest in the battle he become our, what? Adversary. You know what that word in the Hebrew is? He becomes our Satan. That is the Hebrew word or noun for Satan. So they're saying here, lest he become our nemesis, our Satan, our foe, who has the potential of destroying us. And then they go on, and as you read on, they give this amazing pun. Because you remember, David had been appointed the head of the king. He was the bodyguard. He was the head of the king. In other words, that's what it means in the Hebrew, to be the guard. And they said to him, we got to watch out because he could reconcile himself to his master. That's the other guy. Not the Philistine master, and if not, with the heads of Lee's men. So in the Hebrew, they're saying, and they're very clever, he's your head, but watch out, he could take our heads. And when you look at that language, here's what blew me away. The ungodly understood better than the godly the dangers of being unequally yoked. They knew the danger of partnering with David, the potential hazard that could happen to them, and they were being wiser than the people of God. They even declared in verse 5, is this not David? I mean, really, this is the guy they sang to one another in dances, saying, Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. You want us to join with him? Are you nuts? How could we be yoked with him? The enemy was wiser than the godly. And they had good reason to be afraid of David. At this point in time, if you look at the history, and you can look in 1 Chronicles 12, David's probably amassed almost 350,000 troops. He's no longer a lightweight. He is someone to be reckoned with. And here's something else. I was so excited when I saw this. Even though David is really messing up. Can you say amen to that? Do you see David messing up? He really is. But here's what I see God doing, getting him ready for a blessing. God's getting ready, if he will make the right choices and put himself back under the sovereignty of God, God is setting him up for a blessing. Would you receive this word that God has a blessing waiting for you? If you put yourself back under the covering of God and under his sovereignty, even though you might be really totally messing up, and you might say, wow, I am really in trouble here. You have a chance to bring yourself back under the sovereignty or the covering and protection of God. In other words, move out of Ziklag and move back into the city of God. And God has a blessing waiting for you. God has such an amazing amount of grace for you that life could be really... Now, we already know that you may still deal with the consequences, but there's still blessing. Now, verse 6, Achish called David and said, surely as the Lord lives, you've been upright and you're going out and you're coming in with me and the army is good in my sight. Do you see how well he's endeared himself? For to this day, I've not found evil in you since the day of your coming to me. You're great, David. Thank you. I mean, you're one of us. Nevertheless, the Lord's, I mean, it's not my fault, David. They don't favor you. Therefore, return now and go in peace, that you may not displease the Lord, the Philistines. So David said to Achish, well, what have I done? And to this day, what have you found in your servant as long as I've been with you, that I may not go and fight against the enemies of my Lord, the king? David is playing a dangerous game. He has a choice. He could have easily and should have said, I'm out of here, and made the choice to serve his God again. You and I have a choice to decide who we are going to align with. Who will you be yoked with? Who will you partner with? So, in verse 9, it goes on and, you know, it tells us that Achish had answered and said to David, I know that you're as good in my sight as the angel of God. Nevertheless, the princes of the Philistines have said, he shall not go with us to the battle. Now, therefore, rise early in the morning with your master's servant who have come to you, and as soon as you're up early in the morning and have light, get out of here. Depart, leave. So David and his men rose early to depart in the morning to return to the land of the Philistines. To return to the... That's sad. I read that, I thought, ouch, you're going the wrong direction, David. And the Philistines went up to Jezreel. Church, listen, God has something better for you than Ziklag. He's got something so amazing for you, but you must be reminded and come back to a clear understanding that God has great purpose for you and blessing. That's why the word says in Romans 8:28, for we know that all things work together for the good of those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. In other words, what that scripture is saying in summary, we know. There's certainty. Literally what the language is saying, we can know. It is possible to understand that all things will work together. But here's how this is understood, as long as it's in the hands of God. Otherwise, it's just a really trite saying. But all things can work together for God's purposes when they are in the hands of God. And they're not in our hands. Because God desires to release a blessing. Literally, work together tells us that you've heard the word synergism. The idea of two things coming together and the sum of those two things is far greater than the parts. That is a biblical principle. That when you join together with the Spirit of God and you partner with the Lord, this is amazing. The result is greater than the parts. God will do so much more in your life than you could ever imagine if you join and partner with Him. But you join and partner with the enemy, then you have far less. So what the word is saying is that even in the midst of suffering and difficulty, you still can work together with God. You can still hang in there with God. But that means you got to love God. There's so much to share about what it means to love God. When I think of David, I thought of a couple things. That when we love God, and what I see in David later on, is that he longed for personal communion with God. He's the guy who wrote, man, when a deer is so thirsty, it's panting for water. It's like the other day my dog, it was hot. We had been running and just having a great time, because they don't have sweat glands. He is just panting. I mean, he's just like, oh, and I brought him water, and man, he took up that quart jar I gave him, and it was gone. I mean, he was panting. It was so good. I mean, he made that water look great. And David wrote and said, that's what I feel like with my God, that I get so thirsty, I can't wait to drink up God. That's what happens when you love God, is you can't wait to drink Him. And David would learn and he would write, trust in Him, because it says, love the Lord, all you, His godly ones. The Lord preserves the faithful. He protects the faithful. And here's one that's very powerful for me. Love the things that God loves. Hate the things that God hates. That's tough today, isn't it? God calls us to love the things that He loves, but also to hate the things that He hates. To be an obedient and committed to His will and His word. The scripture says, he who has my commandments and keeps them, Jesus said, it is he who loves me. If you say you love me, then you will keep my commandments and you will follow me. If you love me. So let me make this a little bit more difficult. In the next slide. In 1 Corinthians When I wrote to you before, I told you not to associate with people. Now, you understand what it means not to associate? Don't get yoked with these people who indulge in sexual sin. That's tough today. It says in the Word of God, don't be fooled by those who say such things, for bad company corrupts good character. If you hang out with bad company, it will corrupt your good character. Man, you're good people. But if you hang out with the wrong people, you will become wrong people. So listen, who you hang out with does matter. And the Word says, you adulterers, don't you realize that friendship with the world, getting yoked together with the world, makes you an enemy of God? And the Word of God doesn't say this very often, but it says, I say it again. Let me repeat myself in case you missed it the first time. You know how it is when mom or dad said, and I still can hear it, Stephen Mark Wexler, come here right now. That was the second time. I knew now I was in trouble, right? Whenever mom or dad says the middle name, this is God using our middle name. Let me say it again. If you want to be a friend of the world, you make yourself an enemy of God. I am challenging you. Look at how you live. Look at where you're living. Come out of Ziklag. Don't live there. Come out and be yoked with Jesus. And be honest about where you're partnering. If you are going to be a believer in Jesus, I want to be as straightforward with you as possible. You cannot have it both ways. You cannot be a friend of the world and a friend of God. You love God or you don't. And if you love God, then sometimes you have to make some tough decisions. And God challenges us with this. I am concerned for the church across America. I'm concerned about the church in our planet right now and where we're going. We're becoming friends of the world. Come home. Come home to the city of Jerusalem. Come home to the place with God. Let's pray. Lord, your word is very challenging. You call us to live radically different. You call us to a place with you. And living with you, well, it's a real commitment. I pray you give God's people strength. Strength to be committed and to not move out, to not find themselves in Ziklag, but instead remain with you. Lord, I pray that this challenge will reach us and that the love of God would overpower anything else in us. Because we've learned, Lord, when we love you, wow, there's strength. Lord, when we love you and knowing how much you love us, there's deliverance. We don't have to live with fear or compromise, but we can live with you. I pray that everyone here, all of us today, will nail down our commitment let the love of God win the day. To know of the grace of God. With your heads bowed, if you're living in Zitlag, I invite you to come out. I invite you to leave the place of compromise. Is there any of that? If you're there, if you're even, you might say, I'm not living there, but I'm visiting right now. Pull yourself out. Talk to God. Give it to Jesus. Pull yourself out. Really, pull yourself out. Ask God to help you. Let God help you. Lord, thank you that you change our hearts. You, Lord God, open up our eyes. And what happens is so amazing. Might we clearly see? Might we live differently as you called us by the power of your love?